Hi everyone, and welcome to the Product Marketing Insider podcast. I'm Lawrence Chapman, and I'm a copywriter here at PMA. Have you ever launched a new feature that went unused? Waited days or even weeks to get that user data you requested? You're not alone. We're still way too dependent on developers. That's why product marketers around the world are calling AppQs their new favorite product marketing tool. AppQs empowers product marketers to measure and improve product adoption without a developer. Brands like Amplitude, Privy, Full Story and Lyft use AppQs to track feature usage and engage users with in-app onboarding tools, feature announcements and surveys with no code required. Visit appqs.com to start your free trial today. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Agilos Mazakitis, CEO and Growth Product Manager at Growth Sandwich. Growth Sandwich is one of the most prominent customer-led growth agencies, helping B2B SaaS companies make their marketing efforts through win-loss data and deep customer empathy. In this episode, we're going to be focusing on customer churn. Welcome to the show, Agilos.
Hi, Lawrence. How are you? Very surprised that you managed to pronounce my surname. Thank you very much for that.
Not a problem at all. Thank you so much for joining me. So to start the episode, could you please give the listeners a brief insight into your role at Growth Sandwich and tell the listeners a little bit about the company?
Absolutely. 5 years ago, I started a business. It was called Growth Sandwich. To be super honest with you, back then, I was just looking for a cool domain, a .com domain. Since then, the domain is here is exactly the same. I'm too bored to rebrand myself. It's me. I am Growth Sandwich and a couple of people that work with me. So my role within my company and my clients at the moment, as I define it, is customer-led growth product manager, which sounds like a silly buzzword, I know. But what practically means is that I lead and I coordinate growth and product decisions in a customer-led manner, in a customer-centric manner, with the use of qualitative data, qualitative research, and customer research, which is the definition of customer-led growth. Make sense?
Absolutely. No, that sounds great. And what's your previous experience in the product marketing world? What does your journey, if you like, to Growth Sandwich look like?
Absolutely. So I'm 33 now, but I'm kind of doing a similar job since the age of 19. I started as a marketer. But then at some point, it felt like marketing wasn't working the way it used to work for me. I was the same person, but the performance of my marketing wasn't the same. So I started digging what is it that makes a marketing campaign succeed versus one that fails. And that led me to product market fit and product concepts. And I decided to pivot myself into product. So I became a product manager and I worked as a product manager, but always having the knowledge of how marketing works, which ultimately made me a growth product manager or a product marketer, because I wasn't the really traditional product manager, the one that will work very strictly and closely with the engineers. I was very passionate about product problems that were more on the top of the funnel. So more of product marketing issues, and also very passionate about research. So again, one thing led to the other, and I started reading about research and jobs to be done, and I was like, okay, that's what I need to do. So I repivoted my career to research, and currently taking a psychotherapy master's degree to strengthen that background. So here's a little path so far. So in the last 4 years of Growth Sandwich, what I do is very specific. I leverage my background in marketing and product but with the use of customer research, I help founders, marketers, and product people drive better decisions that won't cost them and that won't have any that won't cause any problem to them.
Okay, fantastic. And so today we're going to be focusing on an area that you've got plenty of experience in, and that's customer churn. So in your mind, what are the key drivers of customer churn itself?
That's a great question. In my view, there is only one driver. I know it might sound very theoretical, but I wish people would deeply empathize with this only one reason behind churn. Churn is a very, very nasty thing. And there is one reason that causes it, and that's expectations that are not met the way that our users want them. Or, which is pretty much the same, another way or another solution meets their expectations more or better. So, you know, because we are product people and marketing people, and we tend to focus a lot on fancy metrics and on buzzwords and on complicated concepts. But at the end of the day, when a customer cancels his or her subscription, there is only one reason. There is an expectation that is not being met.
Okay. Yeah, no, that makes total sense. You know, you need to, you know, whenever you're offering something to your customer, you need to, as you say, fulfill expectations. You know, you've almost got like a huge responsibility on your shoulders. You know, I totally understand. So what are the telltale signs of a customer who could be on the cusp of churning? And more importantly, what can a customer do to retain that customer before they do churn?
Okay. Well, when it comes to the expectations that I just mentioned, you know, it might seem, Lawrence, like an obvious thing to discuss. Of course, expectations are not met, so people churn. But it's not always an obvious thing, because when customers knock my door and they tell me we have a churn problem, what they don't realize is that churn or low marketing performance or other fundamental problems are not really the problems, are the symptoms. Churn is the reflection of the real problem. When you see people canceling, this is not the actual problem. This is the way that the problem is actually reflected towards your numbers. So you need to deeply understand why people do what they do, fix the thing that causes the problems, and then go back and check churn. Now, there are a couple of things that you can monitor in order to understand that there will be churn. As you said, the telltale signs of a customer who could be on the cusp of churning. There are a couple of things, some obvious, some signals. Customer success tickets. So there is someone that asks a lot of things and complains and cannot do something. Negative feedback, another signal that something is wrong. But for me, the most important metric that there will be churn is one, and that's activity churn. The thing is, when we see a cancellation of a subscription today, most probably there is a person behind that has decided to cancel the subscription 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago. So the reason that we see this cancellation at the moment is because they just noticed another bank charge. And they were like, oh, why am I still paying for this? So is the cancellation of the subscription, the actual churn, the timing of the churn, the time that our customer decided to leave? Not really. The time that the customer decided to leave can actually be spotted within our product analytics, because this customer started gradually declining activity, increasing tickets and showing signals that something is going wrong. And this is, in my point of view, the best thing that we can monitor to prevent churn. And there are a couple of things that we can do to prevent churn. When such things happen, a signal needs to be activated towards our customer success team that will reach out proactively to see if something is wrong, get the feedback, perhaps pass the feedback to the product team. This is one of the easiest and fastest things that we can do. And in my experience, churn prevention can actually save almost 30 to 40% of the churn that you actually have. So we have one first layer, which is the churn prevention, that can work if you just monitor activity churn. Feedback is also another metric. Customer success tickets are also good, but these are all kind of vanity metrics, if I may say. A customer that gives you negative feedback doesn't necessarily plan to leave. And a very quick and fun example is that Ryanair is voted the worst airline in the last 7 consecutive years. But everybody's using Ryanair. So negative feedback doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to leave. Customer success tickets, again, don't necessarily mean that I'm going to leave. But churning my activity definitely means that something is wrong and you need to do something. And the reason I'm saying that is because it's quite easy for us to be swamped among all these metrics and numbers. Does this make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So that actually brings me quite nicely onto my next question. So obviously, naturally, you know, companies will always want to keep hold of the customers. It's almost impossible to maintain like a 100% retention rate. You're going to get the odd customer who, you know, does churn. And going back to what you were saying about the, you know, the whole element of customer feedback, how can product marketers get feedback from churned customers to understand like any shortcomings, and obviously, in essence, improve their practice? What advice would you give a product marketer who's trying to perhaps reactivate a churned customer?
Okay, great. So I'm going to share with you two things that you can do. One is quantitative, and the other is qualitative. And the reason I will pair the quantitative with the qualitative is because the one goes hand in hand with the other. Your qualitative data need to validate and be validated by your quantitative data. And when it comes to churn, these data are the data that you get from your cancellation surveys. And then the qualitative part is the data that you get from your user interviews. Okay, so two things that you can do to collect the data that will help you improve the situation when it comes to churn, and even perhaps re-engage some of these churned customers. So the first thing that you can do is have a very good cancellation survey. Of course, you might think, okay, this is obvious. It's obvious that you need to have one. What's not obvious is how this needs to be done, okay? And let me give you a very quick example of a cancellation survey that I was working on with a client that seemed to be right, but in reality, it was wrong. We were asking customers, what is the solution that they are going to switch after us? And we would give them a couple of options. We would give them this tool, another tool, some other tools, and they would pick. After 5,000, absolute number of 5,000 cancellations, we had some data of where our customers are going. The problem is we already knew where our customers are going. We knew our biggest competitors. What we didn't know is what each of these competitors represented in the mind of our churned customers every time. And that was the critical thing, the reason behind the switch. So that's a little small tip on how you need to build a jobs to be done driven cancellation survey to actually give you an insight. Now, first thing, as I said, we have a cancellation experience. Part of that definitely needs to be a cancellation survey. The last thing, after our deflection tactics, after the offers that we might give, at the end of it, we have a cancellation survey. Everybody does that. After the cancellation survey, though, we need to recruit a sample of these people for user interviews. Now, there is a specific process that you need to follow for that. At first, let's agree on something. You need to pay for it. It's not free. These people are not happy with you. They just decided to stop giving you their money. So you need to give them something. And that something is money. I definitely promote giving them money, not in kind, not kind gestures. It will slow you down. Just give them money, do your interviews, and move forward. In my opinion, the best incentive that you can give is Amazon vouchers, because it's easy. You don't have geographic barriers. You don't have any other costs. You just put the money into Amazon and give them a gift card. And everybody has Amazon. Okay? So you recruit these people for interviews. You jump on these interviews. You do a very good interview. You ask the right things. But most importantly, you are trying to understand what are the expectations that are not met. What were they planning to do with your solution? What was the outcome that they were expecting to have versus what were the expectations that were not met? What dissatisfied them? What are they going to switch now and why? So all of these questions that we are discussing at the moment need to be paired with why. The interviews will give you the depth of understanding and analysis. The customer surveys, the cancellation surveys will give you scale. You need both. You need both scale, but you also need depth. The one needs to work with the other. These are the two tactics that I can share with you as a product researcher. I'm sure there are more, but I'm speaking from the perspective of the researcher.
Okay, fantastic. And you know, you've worked closely with a company to define its position in the market and to reduce their churn rates. What strategy did you follow in that particular instance, and how can our listeners apply these principles to their own business?
This is actually a very interesting story. One of the most exciting cases that I have worked in my career. It's a video conferencing solution, one of the very popular ones, but not the most popular one that everybody can imagine at the moment as we speak. But a very close one, a very big competitor of this solution. So this solution that I worked with, which I can obviously cannot name, is advocating for simplicity. That's their differentiation point. So during the pandemic, they asked me for help because they had a very big churn. But important to be mentioned that first, it was the pandemic. Everybody was in lockdown, almost everybody. And it wasn't only their churn that was high, but it was also their growth rate. It seemed like lots of people were coming in and lots of people were coming out. So, I'm sorry. We had to figure out what is it that is causing this phenomenon. I'm not sure if you were, what is your impression from these times, from the times that we were in lockdown, but there was an extreme abnormality in everything in the SaaS world, especially solutions that promote cooperation, video conferencing, communication. The things were crazy because life has changed and we needed tools to replicate what we were doing in the office, okay? So I started working with this team, and I realized by doing interviews and by tweaking their cancellation survey and by tweaking their whole cancellation experience, I realized that their churn was plasmatic. It seemed that lots of people were leaving, but the people that were leaving were not the people that we wanted in. In fact, it was the exact opposite. We had a lot of plasmatic growth. Lots of people were coming in because they were looking for a solution. They were not happy with the solution because they didn't have the right expectations, and they were churning. Some of them were looking for a simple solution to start familiarizing themselves, and when they were sophisticated enough, they were churning. Some other people thought that they will find a very good solution, an easy solution, but then they realized that the biggest video conferencing tool at the moment is widely accepted by all parties. So when it comes to external calls with senior people or with clients, it's actually better to use a solution that everybody accepts as the dominant. So we had a lot of users that were coming with kind of superficial incentives to use the solution or with wrong incentives to use the solution. So Lawrence, here is the exciting part. The churn problem was actually a positioning problem. As soon as the company started tweaking and making their positioning more specific, more surgically accurate towards what they are and who they want to be and how they want to differentiate themselves within the market, the churn rate started declining. That's the beauty of research, and that's what I meant at the beginning when I told you that churn at the end of the day is the expectations not being met. And I know it sounded kind of obvious, but churn is actually a symptom of a bigger problem. It means that we are driving people in and then they don't find what they want and they leave. So is the problem always our product? It might be the expectations that we create. It might be the promises that we give through our ads, through our positioning. It might be the value and the way that we are delivering it through our features. In the long term, it might be a lot of things. It might be the timing. So some users might use us for a little bit just because they want to do something, and then they just switch us off. So it is our responsibility to drive the right people in that have the right expectations so that we do not give an extra reason to people to churn after a few months. What else should I tell you about this case? This case was actually one of the most interesting ones because we figured out as well that the customers that wanted to have external calls with clients and important people, they wouldn't use us. They would use other solutions that were more stable performance-wise, but also more accepted, as I said. Our solution, being the simplest one, was widely used by teams to have internal calls. We also discovered some very cool use cases, such as pair coding, which gave us new ideal customer profiles to focus on. The most important thing, we realized that the biggest competitor was the most vulnerable one, while before the research, we thought that it was the one for us to fear. It was exactly the opposite. It was the most vulnerable one. Everybody was complaining. So that incentivized the most expensive and biggest evidence-driven marketing campaign of that tool, attacking almost directly its biggest competitor. So research has done a lot for this company to reduce churn by creating the right expectations and trying to drive the right people. Finally, research helped this team question itself, where is it going in the future? What is their future in the next 5 years? What they want to be? Do they want to be a mass solution that goes head to head with the biggest ones? Or do they want to be a differentiated solution? These are very strategic questions that if a founder or a founding team do not answer until at least Series B, they might die. And these are very important questions, and I stop after that because we build features based on these questions. If we decide that we are a mass solution, we need to build more. If we are a differentiated solution, we need to build different. So it might sound again like a big question, but it comes down to who we are, what we build, what we say about us, what expectations do we create. It's all about the go-to-market. So see, we started this conversation about churn. Why did they have churn and how did I help them reduce churn? It was not churn. Churn was just a symptom. See what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's such an interesting story, you know, just seeing how all of these different dynamics come together and they kind of like correlate with one another. I find that really, really intriguing. So, it's been such a great chat, Aglosha. I really enjoyed welcoming you to the podcast. And to round things off, what would be your piece of golden advice for product marketers who are looking to boost customer retention?
If you really want to boost customer retention, in my view, you need to have waves of customer churn deflection and customer churn saving. And the waves, in my view, need to go from the simplest and most automatic to the hardest and most manual. So it goes like that. First wave, activity churn signals. You need to set signals whenever something happens so that your customer success will actually proactively do stuff. That will save some amount of churn. Then you need to have a very nice cancellation experience that tries to deflect another part of the churn. Deflecting churn by giving offers, by reminding our value, by making users remember why they loved us in the first place. So that's the second wave, deflection and offers. The third wave is surveys. If we haven't managed to save them so far, we need to ask them why. Based on this feedback, we can go back and improve ourselves. And the fourth wave, interviews. We have done our cancellation survey, so that gives us scale. Now we need to go in depth towards our problem and do some interviews and inform our product roadmap with that, with the insight that these interviews have given us. But if we want to go very high level on what product marketers need to do, you know, I'm a researcher, so I cannot advocate for something else. Guys, do your research, eat your veggies, understand your users, deeply empathize with their problems. And one last thing, don't ask them what you have to build. Just focus on what are their problems. You are the people that will decide what needs to be built, you and the product managers. Users are not the right people to tell us what we need to build. They are great at telling us what their problems are. So we need to hear them, we need to speak with them, and dedicate at least X amount of time per week to do that job, to do research.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for coming and joining me. I'm sure the listeners will take a lot of transferable skills from that, Agalosh. So thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you very much for your time and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you.
For everyone still tuned in, thanks so much for listening. And if you enjoyed the podcast, please help us spread the word to other product marketers. Before we leave you to get on with your day, if you want to get involved, here are a few ways you can. If you're a product marketer and you want to come on the show and speak about your day, a specific topic, or your role in general, that's one option. If you want to flex your podcast hosting skills, being a guest host is another. And finally, if you or your company want to sponsor an episode, there's a third. Thanks again and have a great morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever you are.